Okay, there we go. You're awesome, buddy. Thank you. Wow, I'm having fun. I know you already thanked the river, but you can tell when somebody comes with all their heart. Like, they didn't just bring, like, two musicians and a singer. Like, I was like, I just so loved this. And then you guys were just... It just was beautiful. They were all walking down and everybody's so excited and full of joy. There's something about oneness. One heart, one mind, one faith. There's something about us all being on the same page. Understanding something the same. I know there's a lot of friction sometimes in the body of Christ, but I think we can agree on some things that Jesus came to save us. First, forgive us, save us, transform us. So I think we can agree on that. We can talk about transformation. What's that look like? What was the purpose and real intention of the cross? Is it just so God can watch over us, protect us, make our life go better than it would have, and make sure we're in heaven on the day we die? Or is it deeper than that? Is it a little more involved? Yeah? Come on. If it wasn't more involved, the old one passed away and the new one come. There wouldn't be anything new. He'd just watch over us. There's something new that has to come. There's new life through Jesus Christ. There's a whole new way of thinking. He wants to change everything. If old things pass away, behold, all things become new. Then everything that was before he came has to go, and everything becomes new. I talk about a lot. Nobody ever talked about that with me growing up. I wish they would have. I'm not mad at nobody. I just always wonder, Kevin, what I'd have done with it. What I'd have done with what I understand now when I was really young. It was always just about being forgiven and going to heaven, being forgiven and going to heaven. Nobody told me that he wanted to live in me, live through me, shine through me, love through me, forgive through me, make peace through me, manifest himself through me. Nobody even told me it was possible to walk in the light as he's in the light. They just said, I'm going to live in darkness and he'll forgive me. You guys all right? Nobody ever told me to come out of darkness into the light. Now, they told me to be gooder than I used to be. Not do the bad things I used to be. But nobody ever told me I could actually walk in the light as he's in the light. Nobody ever really emphasized that the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead was going to live in me, dwell in me, be in me, and be a friend. I get it now. Now I get it. And it's not so I feel good. It's so I shine. It's so I love well. It's so I can be empowered to be more like him. We're not God, but we're his children. And his spirit lives in us. There's only one God. And we aren't God, but we are his children. And he lives in us. And he is pleased to reveal himself through us. He calls us the body of Christ. His word says we're the people of God. Says that we're sons and daughters. Come on, we're the body of Christ. Study it out. The embodiment of him. The expression of him. It's amazing. So I appreciated the oneness tonight. I appreciated the joy. I appreciated this like whole team. Like you guys weren't playing. I loved it. Thank you. I mean, you guys brought... the crew. That's right. I was so enjoying myself. Who knows, with the same heart, you could have had a guitar player, a drummer, a piano person, and a singer, and it could have rocked the whole house. I just love the class participation. Because what's in my heart is tonight is class participation, that we all got to get a hold of what we're a part of. We got to make sure we don't turn inward and just live self-centered and turn all our prayers into just God taking care of me instead of God turning me into something he paid for. You can get so personal with your life. You can get so caught up in the saga, the drama, the stuff. And all of a sudden your identity is wrapped around how things are going instead of who he is inside of you and why he's inside of you. I don't talk about much new. I feel like I preach the same stuff over and over and over since the day I've been saved. I've been saved 26 years. I feel like I've had the same message for 26 years. I look in the Bible and it's the same message. It's the same message. But it's full of life and it's new every day. Come on. He's merciful, but his mercies are new every day. You never get tired of him being merciful. His mercies are new every day. Every day, new, fresh mercy on your life, right? This message doesn't get old. I've been forgiven and I'm excited about being forgiven. I have my little moments, just me and him knowing I'm forgiven. I have little moments just being forgiven. I've been forgiven for 26 years, but I have moments being forgiven. You get it? I'm about ready to have one of those moments, like right now. It's getting up on me right now. Don't take this stuff for granted. It's not just theology. It's not just scripture. It's reality. It's God's love towards us. He sees me as if I've never sinned. He has separated me from my former life and put his life inside of me. Yeah? Come on. He sees me through his son. He told me to never fear. It's the Father's good pleasure to give me the kingdom. See? So I have to understand why he's in me, who I am now that he's come, and understand what this little journey called life, which is here today and gone tomorrow, it's a wisp and a vapor. Come on, I'll be 60 in December. December 9th, I'll turn 60. I don't understand that. I can't relate to 60 years. I've been saved 26 years. It's a blur. I can't hardly relate to that. I can think back to when I was saved. I can think about the journey, but 26 years flew by. You know what I'm saying? Who knows that your age got here quick? Do y'all know that? Here today, going tomorrow. Like we're all heading to that day. So let's make it meaningful and purpose-driven and, oh my goodness, let's not just get caught up in this life. Don't get tricked. Please don't get tricked into turning the gospel into something that's here to help you just get through this life. Come on, there's a strange quiet when I say that, a strange quiet. Because sometimes that's the only thinking we have. We're just, our prayer list is just God taking care of me, God working things out for me, God changing the people I need to change for me, enough money, no car wrecks. Out here you can't pray for green lights, they aren't here. But you have intersections, you have stop signs, but you don't have lights. If you ever run into one, don't run it. If it's green, you go. If it's red, you stop. You know what they are, right? Traffic lights. Okay, I know I didn't see any out here. I didn't know if you knew what they were. I thought, I'm talking about traffic lights. They might not know what I mean. Some people think their faith is to earn favor with God. Their faith is so they live a life in a healthy perspective to bring glory to his name till that day. Like your faith, there's a unity of faith. He can't be talking about us believing for a better job. There's an aspect of faith that can believe for a better job. But when he's talking about the unity of faith, he's not even talking about healing. He's talking about a perspective we all live by. Now that he came, something we're all supposed to understand, the why behind it all. Like where we're living from. What we're living toward, why we woke up this morning, we can all have the same understanding and have a unity of faith. We didn't wake up just to survive. We didn't wake up hoping our spouse says something sweet. We didn't just wake up hoping our marriage is better than yesterday because I prayed. We wake up to shine. We wake up to love. We wake up to make known his image and manifest him in the face of it all. Yes. And even if people ain't getting it, we're supposed to get it. He said, our neighbors were rascals. I thought it was so funny. Because that doesn't change love. That doesn't change destiny. That doesn't change the purpose of why they're on the earth and why Christ came. The cross is the same. It doesn't matter if they stayed rascals the rest of their lives. The cross doesn't change because they're rascals. The cross empowers you to see them through a truth so you don't see rascals. You keep loving them for destiny. You keep loving them for purpose. Yes. Yes. You keep treating them like they're called of God. Yes. Doesn't mean you can't see the rascal side of their behavior. You don't identify them as such or you'll treat them as such. All of a sudden it's easier to avoid, easier to stay quiet. All of a sudden they're getting under your skin instead of you having brand new skin. And all of a sudden you're letting go and giving up on people because you're letting their behavior decide destiny. You're letting their behavior decide your faith towards their purpose, towards God's love for them. That's why where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. Not to empower sin, to crush it and overwhelm it and pull people out of it and say, hey, I'm going to empower you to be way more than what you've been. Amen. We tend to judge a book by its cover. And the Bible says you never, ever, ever live that way. You don't regard men according to the flesh. You don't see men for what they appear to be. You see men for what they're created to be. Amen. And when they seem like rascals, you know so much more. And all of a sudden, you see them change. You say, well, I wonder if they never change. It's never the legitimate question. The question is walk in love. Or the goal is walk in love, walk in the light, manifest his image. Are you with me? And don't let where a man isn't ever decide where you are. You let who he is establish you. Don't ever let what a man doesn't see become your vision. He's the light of the world. Are you with me? I've met countless well-meaning Christians that understand their Bible and do their devotion sincerely. And they're letting where people aren't and what people say dictate their life, and they don't realize it's happening. It's the way that seems right to a man. And then they gather friends around them that understand their go through because they have the same and they understand our language. Now we have a lot of sympathy, feel sorry, and a lot of our prayers is for people around us to change and treat us better instead of for us to shine. And I've never seen people in that arena flourish and prosper and walk in the light. They tend to live up and down, and they get very self-centered, and they don't realize it because all the attention is on how they feel, how things are going, who's treating them what, and if God's moving. I hope I'm making sense. This is all life-giving. It's not a correction. Man, if we'll live in the opposite of that, if we'll just wake up every day and say this, I say this all the time. I've said this 1,000 times over. I say this almost every church I've ever been in. I say, if you'll just let the gospel teach you this, that every day you wake up, nobody owes you a thing. Nobody owes you a thing. He gave you the kingdom. You're called to walk in the light as he's in the light, to walk in a manner worthy of him. It doesn't say unless, of course, you just got laid off, unless your spouse is going AWOL, unless your children are acting out. It says you walk in a manner worthy of him. You walk in the light as he's in the light. Yeah, but brother, you don't know what I'm going through. Yeah, but what did he go through to give you this wisdom? What did he go through to give you this grace? What did he go through to give you this perspective? So where are our eyes fixed? From whence comes our help? Or what we're being challenged by? People say, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what he went through. Obviously, you got to put more attention on Christ. I think about Jesus a lot in this way. Every day, guys. Especially because I've pastored. I've been in full-time ministry. It's been fun. It's been a joy ride. And I'm not saying the right thing. I'm being honest. I personally don't have an experience of challenge in ministry. And I think it's because of the perspective the Lord's gave me, the perspective from the beginning. Ministry has never been a challenge to me. I know some people feel like ministry costs you everything. It's highs and lows and you barely make it. And people are this and that and this. I've had so much fun in what I've gotten to do from day one. I don't even have a down memory moment. Like I don't have a law moment. And I think it's the perspective because nobody owes me anything. Like you can't hurt me in ministry. I'm a son. I'm a child of God. I'm not a minister. Like people don't owe me anything. Like when they're betraying Jesus, that's a hurt pastor. If you don't understand Jesus in that moment. Did you get that? When they're betraying Jesus, if that's a pastor that doesn't have the healthy perspective, people can't be trusted. You lay down your life. You go the extra mile. They say they're with you and they're against you. Pastoring would be great if it wasn't for the people. And now you have to rehabilitate and restore, and people get jaded and hard and hurt and they carry memories. And it's all because I believe we start off with a mixed perspective or not a healthy one. You got to understand what you're doing. You're coming into this thing and you're giving all that you are. You're dying to everything you've ever been. You're kneeling before God and you're giving Him back what was always His in you, His life in you. You're giving back your life to Him so His life can be in you. That's a Christian. We're not praying a prayer technically and theologically to get forgiven so we're in the right place when we die or the bell rings. We're becoming one with God and He's coming into us to restore and redeem us, to restore purpose and to send us out in a manner worthy of Him so we can walk in the light as He's in the light. Are you with me? So in that place, nobody owes me a thing. He's given me the kingdom. I've got everything in Christ. I'm complete in Christ. I'm not complete in you. I'm complete in Christ. You get it? So you're not set up to hurt me today. Because I didn't wake up expecting anything out of you. Yay. Are you with me? Come on. But if you're insecure, if you need in your life, and you just think that's, oh, we all have need, brother, we all have need. And we have great need of Him, great need of understanding, and all you're getting, and all you're getting, it doesn't say get more friends, and all you're getting, get more blessing, and all you're getting, get more money. It says, and all you're getting, get understanding. We grew up hearing what you don't know won't hurt you. But the Bible says what you don't know is destroying you. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. So if we can get the knowledge and get the understanding, we can stop destruction. And the way that seemeth right to a man won't mess us up anymore. Are you with me? I'm telling you something about being free from yourself that just then you understand what freedom is. All of a sudden you understand, oh my goodness, I'm free from me. It's not even about me anymore. It's not about prestige, esteem. It's not about a ministry name, a ministry title. It's about making Him known. It's about manifesting Him. It's about truly loving. It's about Christ in me. See, you can do all the right things and do them from wrong places. You can let ministry become your identity. You can get the title of something because people recognize the grace to gift in your life and it's legitimate. But that's not your identity. Are you with me? Christ in you. Guys, that's what we're going for. Walking in love, that's what we're going for. Making peace, showing mercy, walking in the light. Guys, we can do 1,000 Christian things, and if we miss that foundation, we're going to miss the point. If we miss love, we'll be offended. If we miss love, we'll still be self-conscious, self-centered, self-focused. I'm not against social media. I promise you I'm not, but I see a lot of people there and ups and downs there. I don't even get on it. I'm not familiar with it, except for some of the stuff that people talk to me about that's going on. And they say, well, and I'm like, well, why are you on there? Well, why do you do it? And they're trying to look for help. And I'm like, if you got weakness in your, if you have insecurity, you shouldn't be on social media. If you're looking for accolade, you're in the wrong place. If you're counting thumbs up, you'll see thumbs down. And if thumbs downs matter, then you shouldn't be there. I hope I'm making sense. I'm not harping on something. I'm saying sometimes we set ourselves up because we're needy. And He really does meet my needs. He's my shepherd. I shall not want. That means that I'm not technically saying we don't need each other. Of course we do. We're the body of Christ. We lock arms. That's what makes us an army. But we've got to live from the same place. We got to get this thing where there's an army rising up where we're going after the same thing. Right? Or our whole ministry lives, we're going to just minister to each other to get by and pass time and feel like we did Him and did church. I hope that wasn't harsh. Did that make sense? Come on, I'm just seeing this thing. We're not here just to minister ourselves and get ourselves through the day. Well, look, we're here to wake up in the morning and understand why He's in us and why we're alive and that today is a gift. Today is a gift. It's not time to complain. It ain't time to say, well, I ain't got enough. Well, why didn't God move? Well, how come He didn't answer my prayer last week? Well, how come? No. I'm not on the earth for Him to do things for me. I'm on the earth for Him to live through me. Yeah. Amen. And if I'll yield and he'll live through me, everything I'd ever need him to do for me is already done. Yeah. Yeah. See, that's called Matthew 6. Seek ye first. Not second. Definitely not third. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Let's simply define that. Can I just do it real simple without going into the function of the king? The kingdom of God is the expression of the king. It's the outcropping. It's the manifestation. The kingdom of God is the expression of the king. Seek ye first the manifestation and expression and heart and desire of the king. And guess what? And all the, and his righteousness. Don't you forget how he sees you through that blood. Don't you fail to be forgiven, washed and free. Don't you try to do what only the blood can do. Don't you get in guilt, condemnation and shame and wear something that he'll never put on you. You put on your righteousness. You put on your salvation. And you're never naked and ashamed again. Yeah? Whew. Come on. While we were yet sinners, Christ died. You put on your robe and never take it off. People say, I put it on every day. I say, why'd you take it off? I just messed with them. What do you mean you put it on every day? When was it off? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these, everything necessary to walk out the kingdom. He's not talking about full vats and barns. Look, I understand Psalm 67, our God, yes, our own God will bless us. Blessing should not be our goal. Transformation in the expression of Jesus Christ in our life should be our goal. Because if not, if those other things are your goal, you'll stay self-conscious, self-focused. All your prayer will be driven by what you think you still need or don't have. You'll have a needs-driven prayer list. You'll think it's spiritual because you're praying. Ooh. Am I okay? Do you know fear and despair and discouragement fuels a lot of people's prayer language and prayer life? You got to weigh that stuff. You got to say, wait a minute, what's been motivating my prayers? You got to look at, if you have a big long prayer list, maybe you better look at that and just see. It's not wrong to pray for loved ones, pray for your spouse, bless your children, speak life over them. Probably, I don't have time to get into all this, and I know you guys are taught well here because of this guy and the leaders, but you could do a lot more prophesying and proclaiming and declaring in those things. Speak life over your children. Speak life over your family. You don't see your child going in a wrong direction, then run to your bedroom every day and cry your eyes out and call it prayer. Father, did you not give me the grace to bring forth that boy? And God, I thank you and you, and there's an investment, and I thank you, Father, and ha, and he, ha, and you know what? And then you're going to stay productive, you're going to stay fruitful, and you ain't going to live like a parent that believes they have a child in trouble. And that doesn't mean you're in denial. It means you're a believer. And you'll stay productive and fruitful because your faith is in God. See, people that do the opposite, they're always talking about the symptom. They're always talking about the action. Now they're talking to three more parents. And they're praying the whole time, but they're so uneasy and so unsure. They keep talking about it. And it's always the despair, the worry, the fear. And you know what happens? They've run into a parent that has a terrible story. And now they're praying all the more because they don't want that to happen to and become their story. I've just watched a whole lot of people lose their disposition, their purpose, and their perspective in trials. And we should count it all joy when we're faced with various trials and troubles and tribulations and things. Why? Because it makes a draw on patience in you. And let her have her perfect work that you're mature, complete, and lacking in nothing. That doesn't sound like the gospel's telling us we're here to get by.
That's right. Come on.
In other words, don't you dare fall apart. Hey, soul. Don't you collapse. Whoa, wait a minute. When did this become just about you and how you feel right now? What does any of that have to do with the kingdom? That's how you got to talk to yourself if you start slipping into that place. Because that's how the gospel's talking to you if you'll listen. It's going, psst, hey, 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 whoa, no, 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 that's a foreign land right there. Shh, come over here. Why are you thinking that? Listen, right now, do you realize for the last 5 minutes you've been just sitting there feeling sorry for yourself? That's a devil's playground. That's a nightmare. That's the loneliest party you've ever been. Get out of that party. Yeah. Feeling sorry for yourself? How are you feeling sorry for yourself when you denied yourself?
Well, yeah. Come on. Come on.
It's a prerequisite for following Jesus. It's not praying a prayer to go to heaven. It's deny yourself, pick up your cross, follow him. Mm-hmm. It's how you get saved. It's not repeating a prayer that lines you up for destiny. It's a decision, an understanding, a perspective. Deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow him. Ain't that something? See, if you don't deny yourself, you'll never pick up your cross. How people treat you will bother you. How people treat you will identify you. And then you're not carrying your cross. You'll let sin against you give you the right to produce sin in you, and it'll be their fault, and they started it. Well, if they wouldn't, I would have never. Well, if she didn't, well, how come my spouse always asks, well, why don't you talk to them? Because they're the one that always in. How come?
Yeah, that's right.
And all of a sudden, you have a justifiable reason in your mind for not looking like Jesus, and there is none. Because you're letting where somebody isn't decide where you are, and their name's not Jesus. So all of a sudden, the governing factor in your life becomes a situation in your life instead of the one that lives inside of you. See, this is what makes him truly makes him Lord of our life. The supreme being, governing, ruling factor in my life. You get it? So I understand these things happen. They're not always fun. And it's unfortunate, the decisions some people make. It's not cool to be in a marriage where a husband or a wife doesn't want to love or communicate or walk out the things we're saying. But watch this. It still doesn't change truth. And it still doesn't change what you're called to. And somehow we got the idea along the way that if people aren't doing what we need them to do, we can't be what we're called to be. Totally disagree. And there's no way it can be true. Where's our evidence? The person of Jesus. Did he say follow me or just sing to me? Now I'm into worshiping Jesus. I'm not belittling worship. But did he say sing to me and pray to me when you're overwhelmed, or did he say follow me? So what are we following? His life. We're looking at his life and what happened and his go through. He was tempted at all points yet without sin. Look what men did to him. He never changed. Couldn't change. He wouldn't change. Why? Because he's love. Every day. Think about this. Every day. Contesting him. Didn't matter how many miracles he did. They're still figuring a way out why it couldn't be God. Why it's a demon. Why he's a blasphemer. Why he should die. There's jealousy around him. Nitpicking around him. Judgment around him. And it's every day. If you look in the Bible. Every day they're coming at him. And you just can't change him. Come on. There's not one chapter in your Bible that says, are you kidding me, Lord, again? Why do you even let me hear their thoughts? Their thoughts are so challenging. I wish you'd just turn that off in my life, because I'm tired of having to deal with their thoughts. I just healed all these people over Capernaum, and that's the best they can think, and we're supposed to do something with this crew? I'm done with working with this crew. I mean, you think about Jesus. You think about perfect and flawless and pure. No one ever more pure in their motives. No one ever more pure in their actions. And he's getting crucified for being flawless. This stuff affects me. Makes me kind of half a madman. In a good way, madman. It gets me thinking deeper. It means, what's he mean when he says, follow me? He said, look, if they hated me, they'll hate you. If they misunderstood me, they'll misunderstand you. Get over yourself, get over here into me and follow me. If you take that to heart, if you take that personal, if you just let people hurt you and you got feelings that can be touched, they'll be touched. Get over here with me. Deny yourself. Pick up your cross and follow me. And don't just say, well, yeah, but we all have our moments and our weakness, brother. We're all human and we all get hurt. And we all got those feelings. No, no, no. Get redeemed. Get renewed in the spirit of your mind. Experience the salvation of the soul through faith and get a healthy motive in life so this stuff can't touch you. Are you with me? Honestly, this thing we're praying and talking all the time, revival, how's it coming if this isn't our foundation? Because God keeps pouring out His Spirit and we keep going, yay, and then we don't think right and keep stumbling into... And He pours that Spirit, yay, and then we're hurt. Yay, and we're offended. Yay, and we're self-conscious. Yay, and we're insecure. I'm not diminishing the outpouring of God. I'm saying we've got to become one in our perspective. We've got to become one in our understanding. Can you help me real quick? Yeah, you and Ann, just run over here real quick. I do this all the time. I picked him out on purpose. You'll see why. Come on, my man. I saw you walking around praying and stuff during worship. I liked it. I see a lot. I don't miss too much. Would you ever mistake us? Would you ever mix us up? Would you ever look at us and say, I'm him and he's me? No! For obvious reasons. Watch this. We don't look nothing alike. Different cultural backgrounds. A lot of things different about us. But watch this. This guy, what's your name?
Imari.
Imari and Dan got this amazing thing in common. Tomorrow morning, when we wake up, we can both look like him. And that's what makes us one. Imari can shine and Dan can shine. He's a black man. I'm a white man. Who cares? What does that have to do with what I'm talking about? He might like different music than I like. He might like it fast. I might like it slow. He might like it loud. I might like it soothing. But guess what we can do? We can both wake up and look just like him by the Spirit of God. And that's what makes us one. Amen?
Amen.
Thanks, man. Are you with me? Guys, look, I'm going to drive home to Pennsylvania at the end of this weekend. I don't know where you live, right here local. He lives here local. She's in Ohio. I'm in PA. Watch this. You're going to live wherever you live. You're going to wake up in the morning. Watch. But you're going to wake up. And I'm believing this for this weekend, that it's going to get burned in your heart where you have this conviction, where you're going to think about the why in your life. What makes you tick? Are you just going to work because it's Monday and you're scheduled? Or are you go to work to shine? Are you just praying for your boss to change because you've had enough and you're looking for a new job? Are you praying for your boss to change because you know he can be a whole lot more and he doesn't understand a forgiving Father? He knows not what he does.
Yes. Come on, people.
I'm not being mean. One's religion, and it has deception laced through it. The other is surrender and understanding the kingdom of God. I'm not being corrective. I'm not being mean. I'm being real. Because if all you're doing is needing a new job because things ain't the way you want, it'll be that way at the next job. And you'll need something else to suit you. It's never about that. Nothing suited Jesus in that way. They were against him, people. Ain't nobody saw Jesus dropping the cross and saying, I've had enough. How dare you? Who do you think you are striking me like that? You ain't seen none of that. Could you imagine Jesus, who was and is to come? He was there since the beginning. Nothing was made that wasn't made through him. He was always with the Father. The beginning, the end. And they're striking him. And you don't see him. Okay, I had enough. If you hit me one more time and then laying it straight, you have no idea. You wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for me. Bah, bah, bam, pow, pop. And Barabbas, you bunch of knuckleheads. He kills a man. I raise the dead. He causes conspiracy. I'm trying to bring peace. And you want to kill me? Get it straight. God, if they didn't change by now, they ain't never changing. I ain't dying for one of them. See, we just don't think about that because Jesus ain't that. That's not so you take it for granted. It's so you learn and become. It's so you have an example to follow. So Christianity, not be mean, so Christianity is more than church attendance and serving within the ministry. I'm not being mean. Are you okay? Pastors, are you okay? I'm not being mean, Paul. Okay. Because a pastor that understands wants more than just ministry. We want lives changed. We're not trying to pull off a service. And having meetings, how we can make it more attractive so people want to come. If you can't love on Monday, we've missed it. If you're not encouraged on Wednesday, we're doing church instead of being her. And we're feeding a human thing where people attract to what they like. So now they come to church because it's fun. Or did you ever hear their worship? Or, oh, Pastor Kevin tears it up. Or, oh, that's my church. Doors open, I'm there. That might not mean much in that day. If you don't know how to love. Are we okay? There's so many scriptures walking in a manner worthy of him. Let us run this race set before us. We got to look unto Jesus. We got a race. We're running a race. We're not trying to survive. We're in a race. We're not trying to get through today and can't face tomorrow. We're in a race. And the old's gone. That thing that I used to live by. That thing that used to motivate me, that thing that was all about me, that thing where I didn't even like me and I needed you to like me to believe I was likable. Anybody know what I'm talking about? That self-conscious thing from the time you can remember, that self-conscious thing where you needed valued, appreciated, support, affection. And we think the answer is to sentimentally surround people with all those components. No, we got to teach people as the church, all those things are going to trip you up. If you think those things are the necessities of life, you'll always be lacking something.
That's right. That's
right. No. You wake up to be more like him. See, Amari and I, we got it. We waking up tomorrow to shine. We got it, man. We're in. And if you'll follow us as we follow Jesus, we'll be the body of Christ. Oh! Yeah? Or you could say, well, yeah, but brother, you don't know what I'm going through. I'm not being insensitive. I just lost my brother out of the blue. We just buried him Saturday. He just fell over in the middle of a conversation, gone. 14 months older than me. Good Christian guy. I'm going to miss him terribly, but I treasure the memories and the relationship we had. You can't tell. He just dropped. You can't tell my brother just dropped. You didn't know that. I'm not putting on a thing to perform for you tonight. It's something I see. It's something I believe. I'm not mad at God. I don't have questions. I have answers. Come on. Christ died. He's good. My race is still going. So let's keep running. And one day, we'll all hug, and we'll all be glad we kept running. Or you can sit back and get theological and get depressed, get angry at God for a year and a half. Listen to all the songs that say what he don't do. Oh, I'm on. Am I okay? Or you can just actually prove you love God like he loves you. Unconditionally, and no matter what points in a certain direction, what analytical mindsets want to say, hey, I ain't gonna wrap my mind around so many questions that I get blinded to what I know. Well, but how come he, why? Stop. I don't know. You probably don't know. We'll never know. Someday we might. But here's what I do know. He's good. He sent his son. He opened the door for eternal life. My brother is in his immediate presence, in the presence of the Lord forever, guys. Watch. Forever. Never, ever gonna die. But if you're a Christian to get through now, you're wrecked when those things happen. And you'll never get through now, because now will decide you tomorrow. And there's no faith in that, because there's no Christ kingdom perspective in that. And it's not that I don't grieve. I just don't grieve as if I have no hope. There you go. I'm not being so spiritual that there's no physical sense of loss. No, I cried probably harder than any time I remember crying since I've been saved. But it didn't last long. And believe me, joy comes in the morning. These are not Sunday scriptures that we're supposed to amen. They're scriptures we're to live and become. And when do you do it? When your brother passes. When you lose your parent. When you get a call you were never expecting. Maybe that's why you have faith and when you need it most. Maybe when you didn't get the answer. Maybe that's when you need faith. Maybe when it didn't go the way you were crying out and shouting. Maybe that's when you need faith. Because faith is a perspective that we're to be unified in. That's going to take us to that day with our hearts unscathed. Well and whole and complete. With a beautiful, beautiful perspective of our God. And those loved ones that you're mad over and hurt over and mad at God over, if they could reach you and get to you, they'd be freaking out. No, what are you doing? I'm better than okay. What do you believe? I refuse to believe lonely. I refuse to believe hurt. I refuse to believe those things. I've never seen anyone living there produce life. It can never be the Lord because it doesn't produce life. That's how you weigh your life. If how you're thinking and what's motivating you isn't producing life, it cannot be the Lord. Why would you grant yourself permission to stay where you weren't created to live? Are you with me? Just because the way that seemeth right says so. But that way leads to destruction. All the time. I left the hospital. Of course, we prayed for my brother. Would have been awesome and beautiful if he'd have sat up and said, hey. But he didn't. So then everybody that's unsettled in their theology or angry at each other, then they want to use those things as tools to argue. Whew. Please stay out of those things. Because here's the reality. I'm still in my body, but Christ is in me. I still have purpose and destiny. I'm still in my race. I don't have time to debate and argue and use this example. See, so many people are defining God through their experiences. You define God through his son and through his word. You don't say, well, God's this and this because this, this, this. No, God's this and this because of the word of God. Are you with me? So I got home in the driveway the night he passed, and I was sitting in my driveway, and this real thought, shocking. Who's ever lost somebody, spur of the moment, no warning, very close to you, just boom, gone, in a heartbeat, gone. That's how it happened. The lady in the store said he was laughing and talking. They were holding a conversation, and she turned, grabbed her book, turned and faced, and he was already gone. And I got that phone call. So I pull in my driveway. And this reality hit me. I'm never going to see his face again. Like in this life, I'm never going to text him. Never going to hear my phone go bzz, and check it. And it's him. We were outdoors buddies. We did so much together. We weren't just brothers. We were like friends. Very close communicated. And I thought, never going to have another conversation with him. And I sat in my truck and I said, and Lord, the reality is he's with you right now, like absent from the body, present with the Lord. Like, that's incredible. I said, I think I say I know that and I preach that. But I'm really thinking about that right now. He's with you. And I took my time with it because it's just easy to preach it because we know it's right. But I let it sink. I just sat there and let it sink. And I laughed. I said something that you might not relate to because we're hunters. And I said, and I'll just bet you. And I chuckled. I said it out loud in my truck because I'm talking to the Lord. We're friends. He's my father. I said, I'll just bet you that's better than sitting in a tree stand. And I chuckled. And I said, God, Lord God, it's undoubtable I'm going to miss those moments I spent with him and sitting in the boat together and taking rides and talking. See, he saw what Jesus did in my life. This is the fun stuff. And it made him hungry. And because he's my brother, I talked to him really straight. Like, for a long time, he'd ask me about testimonies. Did you see any like crazy miracle lately? Like, talk to me about what you saw God do recently. And I entertained that for a little. And then at some point, I just called him out and said, wait a minute, you keep asking me about it. What about you? What about your heart? Convictions in your heart. We're both raised with the gospel. You know it. What are you going to do with it? And I started getting on him a little bit. Intensely, because he's my brother. I get away with it. I don't even talk to people like him. He's my brother. You know what I said to him? I said, you're going to be married to your wife, stand before God someday, and she's not even going to know the gospel, and you sat on it your whole marriage and say you love her. I said that to my brother when we were leaving from fishing, when he asked me to share some testimonies. I said, forget testimonies. What about this? Bam. I was just stabbing him. He's my brother. I can get away with it. I don't minister like that to people, but I did to my brother. Did you know what happened? They went to the mountains for the weekend and he was trying to find a radio station and all he could find was Christian. This is Christian station. It's all he could find. He's not familiar with any contemporary Christian songs. There's some amazing songs out there. There's some songs I believe are written by the Holy Spirit. All he could get is this, and he thought, well, music's music. I'll just say, he turned it on. He's sitting in his chair, relaxing in the sun. He said he was just sunning. He has eyes closed. And he's sitting, and he said the music started getting him. He started listening to the words and thought, wow, that's really intimate. That's really deep. Wow, that's really moving. And our conversations and all this conviction. It's so fun. He's sitting there. And this is what the Lord's waiting on for everybody. Not a prayer to take you to heaven. He wants relationship, communion. He wants you to know him. He said, Lord, I know you're out there. And because he called me crying, told me the whole story. And it had to do with convictions, my life, things he's sitting on. He said about me and this and that, Dan and da-da-da. And he said, man, I don't know you like that. But honestly, if I could, I would want to. This music's really moving me, these words. I think I need to know you. And I know I need to know you, and I want to know you. And he started talking like that to the Lord. He said, Lord, would you begin to reveal yourself to me? And he has this encounter with the Lord. His wife just told me right before the funeral, she said, I watched him, especially in the last 3 years, his heart gets so sensitive, becomes so caring and so loving towards everyone. Well, that's because he was praying that way. He'd talk to me all the time. He'd tell me how he was praying. It would humble me. I'm like, whoa, you've been praying that all morning? Oh my gosh, I want my life to be useful. I want God to live through me. I want to make the most of the moment. And you can get mad all you want. She's, well, how come? That's what makes me so mad about God. Here's a guy, he's only 61. He's going after God. Why does God let him just fall over dead? That's the accusation of men's minds. I only know how to repeat that because I hear people say that. Even as a pastor, they come to with all their pain. And I don't know. Them thoughts never even crossed my mind. Thank you for the gospel. I so appreciate the blood. Wow, my brother's saved. Spirit of God in him. Thank you for the 61 years we enjoyed. Yay. I asked the Lord a long time ago, the healthiest way to handle loss and how do I pastor people in loss? He said, if they lose their thankfulness, they've lost sight of truth. He said, they've turned inward and they've taken the loss personal. If they've lost thankfulness, they've lost sight of the truth. That's what he told me. Did you ever notice in the New Testament where he's talking about things and he always adds on the end, and with thanks, and with thanksgiving? It's a lot of places he tags on the, and with thanks, and giving thanks always. Why? Because if you take your situation personal and you lose thanksgiving, then you're just taking it personal and you're missing purpose. I got in my truck that night sitting there and I thought about him being with the Lord. And I thought, I said, Lord, I said it out loud. I said, I say I understand it, but I don't think I do. I said, it's moving my heart. It's making me hungry to know more. But he is in your presence. I said, that's better than a tree stand, I'm sure. And I chuckled. And then I sighed and I said, thank you for 61 years of awesome. I so appreciate his life and that he was my brother. God, thank you. And I haven't hurt, legitimately haven't hurt since that moment. Now I wanted to text him 20 times and I almost did about 10 and realized he's not there to text. And when I realized he's not there to text, it didn't hurt like it would have if I didn't understand truth. Doesn't mean I don't miss him. I'm not downplaying physical loss. I'm not trying to get you to stuff your emotions and live in some robotic place. It's truth that makes you free. Are you with me? So aren't we believers? So what do we believe? We're so quick to wear a believer. Okay, what? And that's all this night's been about. What do we really believe? Let me throw some, they're not bad questions. I'm not trying to antagonize you or challenge you or charge you. But why are you a Christian? Why do you come to a service like this? What really makes you tick? What's the why behind your faith and your relationship with God? Please make sure it's more than well-being. Please make sure it's more than just protection and health and wholeness. Because if that's the only motive you have, your circumstances will decide who you are and how you are. But if you have a higher revelation, circumstances will have nothing to do with who you are and how you are. And that's called healthy Christianity. And that's going to make us an army, people. Are you all with me? So if you came in here tonight with a platform and an ability to just be hurt and offended, and you can't forget what so-and-so said, I'm challenging that tonight. And I'm saying, how about following Jesus? He did everything right and got treated totally wrong. His own men said they would die for him, and they all ran as soon as he was struck. When he rose from the dead, he didn't say to Mary, go tell them, low-life, two-faced, chicken-hearted, no good for nothing, runners, not followers. You know what he said when he rose from the dead to Mary? Go tell my brethren. Covenant term, family. Go tell my brethren. What's he saying? I haven't changed my mind about them. Not one bit. They're my brethren. Do you know what offense says? A whole lot of nasty things. You know what love says? Hey, go tell my brethren. I'm going to my Father and your Father. I'm going to my God and your God. And he takes his blood into the mercy seat of the holy place of heaven. Into the tabernacle of heaven. The holy place, not made with hands. That's where he went. He Hebrews 9'd it right there in John 20. Hebrews 9 happened in John 20. He said, don't you cling to me, Mary. I haven't yet ascended to the Father. But you go tell my brethren, I'm going to the Father and he's your Father too. I'm going to my God and he's your God too. The word Father in that chapter means come forth from. The word God means source of life. You know what he's saying? You came forth from the source of life. And I'm going to him. He came back in the same day in the evening. And what did he say? Peace be with you. Why? He just went and made peace with his blood. And you now have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. He showed him his hands, his side, and they believed it was the Lord. And then as soon as that happened, what do you think happened to their soul? As soon as they realized it was Jesus, what do you think happened to them? Denial, rant. What do you think Peter was feeling? Be real. As soon as he showed his hands and they saw it was the Lord, the very next thing out of his mouth, he already said, peace be with you. And then he said, peace to you. It's a whole different peace. It's two different pieces. The peace be with you is the peace you have through the Lord Jesus Christ because the blood of Jesus has made you clean. This peace is, hey guys, I know how you're feeling right now, but stop it. That's not what I see. Did they do anything right? Did he treat them that way? In fact, guess what he did? He said, peace to you. As the Father sent me, so I send you. He didn't say, guys, you have some things you really need to brush up on. I know I put you through 3 years of intensive, but it obviously wasn't enough. What's he banking on? Every investment and life example that he put into their hearts. And the work of Holy Spirit that's about to come when he baptizes them. In soon time to come. Are you with me? He says, as the Father sent me, so I send you. Now, we get excited about their scriptures and we think power and lightning and glory. For God so... Miracles are amazing. Healing's amazing. I've seen some beautiful, fun things in my life. And I know people that have seen way more incredible things. And it's a blast and fun. But don't ever let it weigh above love. You can have all knowledge of all mysteries. You can have faith to move every mountain. If you don't have love, you've missed the point. You got nothing. Come on, that's a spiritual icon. Everybody's looking for knowledge of all mysteries and faith to move every mountain. That's the closest thing to Jesus we've ever seen. And yet scripture says, but if you don't have love, you missed the whole point. You got nothing. He uses the highest example of spirituality in our book where gifting is concerned. And says, if you miss love, so why would somebody move in all that if they didn't have love? Esteem, name for the self, big ministry, whatever. How could you give all your goods to the poor and your body to be burned and not have love if you give all your goods to the poor? The poor have your goods. But if you don't do it because of love, you have nothing. Make a name for yourself, lifelong reputation, maybe hope they put a statue of you in the center of their town for 50, 80, 100 years to come. I don't know. But it sounds like it's possible to do things apart from love. As the Father sent me, so I send you. For God so. And then what'd he do? He breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. Why'd he breathe? Why didn't he just say it? Because he breathed into Adam in the garden, and what was lost through sin was restored through the redemption of the blood of Jesus Christ. So on purpose. He breathed on purpose. He took them back to day one as if sin never happened. As if there never was a separation. He made them clean. He said, live again, day one. As if the tree never happened. Is it still there? Is the voice still whispering? Yeah, just follow him. Yeah? This thing is simple now. He comes to them and he says, peace be with you. Shows him his hands and said, peace be to you. And then he says, hey, as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. What's he doing, Kevin? He's handing him the baton of the New Covenant, New Testament church bought with his blood. And then he breathes on him and says, receive Holy Spirit. Watch. Let us make man in our image and in the likeness of God. He made them both male and female. As the Father sent me, I send you. Do you hear it? Do you hear it? Let us make man in our image. As the Father sent me, I send you. Blood speaking better things. And he says, if you forgive the sins of any, they shall be forgiven. And then we get in lifelong theological debates. Well, who are we to forgive sin? It's only God to forgive sin. Why would he even say that? Well, he said that because of this. And now we have camps and schools and things built on some of these scriptures. Here's all we're saying. If you go out and love them like I just loved you, they'll know my love. But if you don't forgive them and love them like I loved you, then where are they going to get love and forgiveness? Because he says, if you forgive the sins of any, they shall be forgiven. But if you retain the sins of any, they shall be retained. It sounds like he's giving them permission to not forgive. He's not. He's saying, if you don't love them like I just loved you, how will they know the love you know right now? You're my body. As the Father sent me, I send you. Now go love the world like I just loved you. But if you get your heart hard and hurt and tainted, get caught up in religion and ministry and you and me and self and you retain the sins of any, how will they know forgiveness when you're my people? You are the body of Christ. Ain't that something? Yeah, I'm probably done with the message teaching tonight, but that just felt like it hit our home. It's only 8:42. I'm really early. I'm super early. I just look up at that clock. It threw me. No, I'm going back to, I just feel like I said plenty tonight. We got 11. We got 6. We got Sunday morning. Phew. Listen, every one of us in this place can hear this message for you and where you're going to live from in the midst of all your challenges. I'm not making light of the challenges. Just don't ever let them be Lord and don't ever let them dominate. I'm not making light and over-spiritualizing the passing of my brother. It's just that the passing of my brother should never dominate my life because he's Lord. And I have a higher vision and a higher purpose and a higher faith. Are you with me? That doesn't dishonor my brother. That honors him and keeps everything in a right perspective. There's not one thing I preached tonight. Not one thing. I got some pastors sitting here. Correct me if I'm wrong. There's not one thing I preached tonight that you can't live if you wrap faith around it in the midst of your life and trials. There's not one thing I preached that if you say I'm in, that you can't wrap faith around and begin to walk out in Holy Spirit, this motive and perspective. You can say, yeah, but I'm in the most trying marriage. Okay. So pursue Jesus and become the expression of Christ in love. Don't think you're going to be enabling and become weak and passive in a doormat. Jesus wasn't a doormat. He was the expression of the Father and he was love. So if you're not careful, you'll keep assessing all the reasons why you can't live what you're hearing tonight. And then you'll never step out in faith to go there. Don't do that to yourself. But you just don't know the marriage I'm in. What about the relationship you're in with Jesus? Are you following me? I'm not telling anybody to stand there and get hit and beat and killed by a spouse. What I'm saying is don't let your spouse dictate your heart and don't become hurt, angry, hard, or bitter because of their sin. And even if you have to break away because of safety, you cry for them. You don't cry because of them. Are you hearing me? It's just so easy to cry because of people. Instead of cry for them because we haven't really become love. It's so easy to hurt because of people instead of hurt for them. Mercy triumphs over judgment. When you see a person living that way, it should draw mercy up and out of you, because if they really knew him, they wouldn't be living that way. Forgive them, Father. They know not what they're doing.
Who said that? Sure looked like they knew. Secret meetings, 30 pieces of silver. Plan an agenda. It looked like they knew. But Jesus, is he a fool? No, he's love. Forgive them, Father. If they really saw, if they really knew, they wouldn't be in the position they're in. Would you have mercy on them and let it triumph over judgment and what it seems like they deserve? Jesus is saying that. Beyond description, marred more than any of the sons of men. You can't even tell who he is anymore. And he's hanging there saying, forgive them. They're deceived. They're blind. If they really knew, they wouldn't be doing what they're doing. Teach us, Jesus, how to follow you. Christ in us is the true hope of glory. Not Christ for us. Christ in us. Are you all with me? So erase any permission you've ever had in your heart to be angry and bitter and outside of love. Challenge it tonight. I'm just going to talk plain. If you don't challenge it tonight, you'll just justify it. You'll find yourself never being formed in the image of Christ. And what are you going to do in the end? Look into his fiery eyes of love and power and mercy and amazingness and go, Look, I'd have lived more what you called me to if it wasn't for, I don't know why you didn't change them. You're not even going to be able to think that's possible looking into the light of his glory. Why would you let it buy time now?
Yes, that's right. That's a good question.
Come on, I'm trying to close this thing with some good, strong challenges. Like, why would you let something buy time that's not going to stand then? Were you going to say, oh, I would have believed more if it wasn't for my spouse. Didn't you see my tears? Didn't you hear my prayers? You are going to go, oops. I left where my spouse was and dictate my whole life. I left my spouse rule my heart. And I went to church as a desperate, needy person. And people surrounded me and prayed for me and cried for me and loved me. But I never put my true faith and trust in you and allowed you to become my heart. Do you realize you can show sympathy to people and think it's spiritual without giving them truth and answers? It's okay to hold somebody and cry with them for a moment, but make sure you answer with truth and get them out of the just sad for you. I tell people, and it's not a joke all the time, if you get 20 seconds of tears out of me, 30 seconds is max. I can cry with you for 30 seconds and feel sorry that you have to be in this situation, and I can feel bad that they're treating you and making these choices, and there's some things we're going to have to taxi through, and I'll cry with you 20 seconds. After that, it becomes bleh. And I'll let you know that I understand that it's real. But after about 20 seconds, I'm already starting to tell you how you can start thinking and how you can view this and how you can turn this thing around in your perspective. And I've watched countless people in that place turn around, make healthy adjustments. But just to take the lady in your home group and say, how's things going at home, honey? And you say, everybody knows what that means. And now we think we're spiritual because we're praying. So we all put her in the middle chair and we're all around her. God, would you comfort her? God, would you? And now she's crying and can't hardly breathe. And we think God's moving. And then we have a hard time with compassion praying for her husband because she's so sweet and he must be a jerk. And now we're praying, knock him off his horse like you did Paul and blind him for 3 days and open his eyes in truth. And because you get offended. Because she's the sweetest thing. How can he treat her like this? How come these guys always are with these sweet little ladies that just want to love Jesus?
I've been around this stuff, and we think because we're feeling bad and hurting and praying, we're being spiritual. You might be empowering her to stay in pain. You might be identifying her as an abused wife. So what do? You get in front of her and you say, honey, listen, when she asked you how it is at home and I saw the tears, I understand it's very challenging. No, look at me. Listen to me. I am so sorry. You might even cry for her. And you tell her how sorry you are that he's making these choices and decisions. But listen, you look at me, right in my eyes. This is not hype. This is not over spiritual. You are no less a woman of God, no less love, no less anointed. I am sorry he has no revelation of love, but God loves you and you cannot be another hurting wife. And you start ministering to her and you can shift that thing. And I've watched it happen by the power of Holy Spirit many, many, many times. And all of a sudden, this lady's starting to trust God and pray. She'll tell you, I actually have compassion for my husband. He doesn't understand. He's so lost. I used to just think he's mean. Now I realize he's lost. I used to just want to get away from him, and I was afraid, but I wanted to get out of the house and just get out of this marriage. Now I can't stop crying for him. Sounds like conversion. If you can just change their perspective, because the eye is the lamp of the body. And if the eye's single, looking through truth, then the whole body's flooded with light. It doesn't say unless you have a jerk for a husband. It says if you see clear, you'll be clear. But if your eye's not single, if it's wide view lens, multiple choice, yeah, but you know what I'm going through, but you don't know how long, well, how coming out, you don't, blah, 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 then darkness encroaches. And if the light in you, hear the perversion, if the light in you is darkness, in other words, if what's designed to be light becomes darkness, just how great is that darkness and how twisted is your view? You all good? Can we stand to our feet and just pray a couple things? Do you mind? I just want to pray a couple things. I love preaching the gospel. You know what's better than preaching the gospel? Living it. It's so rewarding. It like borderline flakes me out. I have to take a deep breath just to talk about it and people not thinking I'm weird or corny because I get excited inside. I felt like I held it together pretty good tonight. I mean, I don't know what's free look like. Probably something we're not all that used to at times. Do yourself a favor. Make sure you get alone with God really soon. And absolutely just believe he loves you. Do you know how many Christians don't receive the love of God? Like, get alone and just believe, wow, you have to love me. You'd have never sent your son. You value me. You wash me clean. You're not ashamed to call me yours. I'm done being ashamed. My identity does not rest in my yesterday. My identity rests in you. Thank you for loving me. I'm closing with that. I'm saying that right now because I feel like there's a handful of people in this room that really, really, really would benefit from that place. That's a starting place for you. It's not that your heart's wrong. Your heart's sincere. You're a sincere Christian. You ministry sincere. But I'm telling you, there's something about receiving the love of God that'll change your life. Please get alone with him as soon as you can and believe he loves you. And then when you do that, you're looking up from whence comes your help. And then what you do is you never look back then. Then you never again look back. Because he washes you, he cleanses you, and you're free. And if you learn from your past, that's one thing. But don't ever go back there and become a product of it. See, you're not Lot's wife. You're his bride now. So you can't look back. If you look back, you get stuck from where you were delivered to where you're supposed to be going. You're stuck in between that. But you're his now. There's a handful of people in this room would really benefit by getting alone tonight. And saying, you know what, I'm done wrestling with this thing. You have to love me or you'd have never sent your son.
You have to love me. You never sent your son. Thanks for forgiving me. It's important. There's a couple people you need to hear this really clear right now. Thanks for loving me. Thanks for forgiving me. Nobody in the room, close the door, get in a bathroom and watch this. And thanks for making me clean. I receive your love tonight. And I put on righteousness. And I'm going to live this life in Christ Jesus. And just settle it. And never look back. You say, yeah, but I have these tendencies and I want to... Okay. And Father, I just thank you. You're doing a work in me. You're giving me strength. And I thank you. You're realigning me and you're guiding my steps. Watch this. And in a day, you start walking this direction and you find yourself in this place you've been concerned about and you realize it. Oh my goodness. You run to him. You don't go, oh, there I go again. See, that was just a bunch of words in the bathroom. Probably not sincere in the first place. You know, I say these things. It's just a bunch of words. Maybe even don't even know if I'm even saved. You run to God. Wow, Father, thank you for a truth that's working in my life. I see that for what it is. That is not where my heart desires to be. That's not what you created me for. And that's not a line of thinking that I embrace. God, you're doing a work in me. There's truth working in me. And I thank you for the way you're growing me up into you in all things. And I ain't looking back. I'm running this race and I'm looking unto Jesus. You authored this thing and you're going to finish it. And I'm keeping my eyes on you. That's relationship. The other is condemnation, guilt, and shame. This is relationship. God never uses the tool of condemnation, guilt, and shame. He did not send his son into the world to condemn you. So why do Christians live condemned? You ever bump into a Christian living condemned? Ever bump into a Christian? Any pastor bump into a Christian living? He did not send his son into the world to condemn you. So condemnation can never be the answer. There's three tools that are in the enemy's belt that are never in God's, and he doesn't subcontract the devil. Guilt, condemnation, and shame. Don't ever, ever, ever let it take you out again. Guilt is you saying, I'm not forgiven. Condemnation is you saying, my life is worthy to be judged. Shame is you saying, what I'm ashamed of is still who I am. They're all three anti-finished works of Christ. And not one will ever produce life. Are you with me? True conviction recognizes the thing, but doesn't wear it. And in a confession to God, takes it off and lays it by the curb and puts on righteousness. And allows the heart to be shifted and become wiser and sharper because you're standing in his righteousness. I have not found a way to sin and get away with it. I've found a way to be free. Are you with me? So all over this place, I want you to just close your eyes right now and just take something really personal. The love of God for you. All over this place, I want you to just in your heart, believe he loves you. I'm going to help you. I told some of you to do this as soon as you can, but we're just here now. It feels so pressing in my heart. Just wow, Father, thank you that you love me. You just say it right in your heart. Thank you that you love me. You really do love me. You really love me. You see purpose in me, destiny in me. Wow, some of you, you've been hard on your own self. That's not humble. Being hard on yourself is deception. Holding yourself accountable, that's one thing. But crossing the line, just getting hard on yourself, nitpicking. No. I want you to throw that away. Say, you know what? You love me. You're not ashamed of me, and I'm done being ashamed. You don't see me for where I've been. I'm done identifying with where I've been. Tonight is a night of liberty for me. Tonight is a night of vindication. It doesn't matter who failed to love me. You have loved me well. You sent your son. And Jesus, you gave your life to give me life. Come on. Don't let childhood stuff, don't let a past relationship, don't let an alcoholic parent, don't let an abusive uncle tell you what you're worth. The cross of Christ says, I really, really value you.
And if those people in your life saw what I knew, they'd have never done what they did. So let's learn to cry for people instead of cry because of people. And let's keep our eyes on Jesus. Father, I pray for freedom all through this place. I pray for a freedom in perspective. I pray that the past and the memories of yesterday would have no power on any single person in this whole room. That truth itself would empower them. That they would say, wait a minute, I've been identifying through a man's weakness instead of God's strength. I've been letting what a person did trump what you did, God. I've had my eyes on the wrong thing. And I'm shifting my eyes over and I'm putting my eyes on you from whence comes my help. And I'm receiving the salvation of the Lord tonight. Some of you need to declare this. I'm not looking back and I'm not going back. I'm not in bondage. I'm in freedom. And I believe. Forgive people tonight. You know what that would mean. Just forgive tonight. Father, if they really knew what they were doing, they wouldn't have done it. Forgive them, Father. They don't know what they do. Let us be the Stevens, God of the earth, and say, don't hold this thing they're doing against them, Lord. Father, I just thank you for restoring people, restoring homes, families. Healthy perspective. Let faith be in the heart. Let parents speak over their children in prayer in true faith. Take away fear. Take away disappointment. Take away regret. Don't let a parent continue to believe they failed so bad that your redemption can't follow through and kick in and redeem a family. God, even if we did fail, you are greater. Tonight, we are putting the trust of our lives in you and believing your life is in us. I'm doing one more thing tonight. It just feels right. If you're married in this place, even if your spouse isn't here, if your spouse is here and you feel like, man, you know, I know it's been testy. I know I haven't loved them. Like, I know I haven't been living what this man's been talking. I've been more taking things personal, getting in spats, ending conversations uncomfortable. If that's been you and you're here and your spouse is here, I want you to be bold tonight. Nobody's looking around. I'm not asking you to raise your hand. Just get their hand. Just tap them. Look, get their hand. Spouse, don't pull your hand away. Don't say, don't you hold my hand. No, let them take your hand. Because if they take your hand, here's what I want them to be saying. I'm listening tonight, and I'm not listening for you. I'm listening for me. And I haven't been loving you like Jesus does. But I'm ready to start. Would you give me that honor and opportunity? Forgive me for what I haven't. Forgive me what I have. But tonight, God's got my attention, and I want peace in our home, peace in our marriage. Would you give me the honor of pursuing loving you like he loves me? And I want to grow in this truth. Forgive me for everything before this moment. And I'm telling you, spouse, there's some spouses you're here. You need to just take their hand and be bold. And you don't even have to look at them. Just take their hand and just put a little pressure on their hand. You don't even have to look at them. And I believe one of you will begin to weep. But the other spouse, here's what I would love you to do. Just put a little pressure back on their hand and give them one or two squeezes. And if you do that, here's what I believe you're saying. Yeah, I hear you, honey. I feel the same way. I've been listening too. And I haven't been listening for you. I've been reacting. I've been letting things you said determine me, my disposition. I haven't put my trust and my eyes in Jesus. I haven't purposed to wake up and love you like he does. So I'm saying ditto, honey. And I'm squeezing your hand back because I believe there's more than hope for this marriage. I believe the kingdom of God is at hand. So Father, let marriages right now be healed and restored. If the spouse isn't here, God, if the spouse isn't here, you hear the heart of every spouse. Let grace come on every person and empower us and let wisdom rule in our homes. Give us wisdom towards our children. Teach us how to pray and believe in faith and not in fear. Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to help us in these things we heard tonight so that we would be your army marching strong on this earth and people would know who you are. Because of your people. I bless this house. I thank you for doing something, God, in this region, doing something with pastors and leaders, togetherness and oneness. And I just pray that tonight would just be a simple part of a tool in your plan that would make this thing surely come to pass. Let time remember us as people that knew their God and loved well. Let the biggest story of our life be how you transformed us into what we became. Not what we've been through, not how we climbed over a mountain, but how you simply came inside of us and gave us a new heart. Would you give us new hearts and let them manifest to the world around us? In Jesus' name. Amen. Look, we could have prayed a lot of things. We could have prayed for the sick. We could have did a lot of things tonight. I just did what I felt like we should do. I'm going to ask you to close us out if you want. Love your heart, Kevin. God bless you. Thank you. And go ahead. Just close us out. Yeah. It is wonderful.